Could we turn, please, in the scriptures to Nehemiah chapter 9, a very short passage that I read earlier. As I said, we are gradually getting through this wonderful chapter of Israel's history in Nehemiah chapter 9. And in these verses 22 to 25, Nehemiah continues with a review, if you like, a review of Israel's history and the Lord's faithfulness to his people. Tells us there, doesn't it? You gave them, verse 22, kingdoms and nations. The Lord gave them kingdoms and nations. And in this passage we read here of the lands of Sihon and Heshbon. And this man, Og, is mentioned here as the king of Bashan, but also thought to be the king of Heshbon as well. And Heshbon was a city of the Amorites. And I shall be referring quite a lot back to the earlier books in the scriptures to back up basically what I say. Because remember, it's scripture that interprets scripture. Not us, but scripture. And we read in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24, rise, take your journey, cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hands Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. This man was a king of the Amorites. In chapter 3, Deuteronomy, verse 1, then we turned and went up the road to Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And verse 8, and at that time we took the land from the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were on this side of the Jordan, from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon. Now this man Og was a very interesting character. He had homes in a place called Ashtaroth and Edrei, and we can discover that if we were to dive into the book of Joshua and Joshua chapter 12 and verse 4. The other king was Og, king of Bashan, and his territory, who was of the remnant of the giants who dwelt at Ashtaroth and at Edrei. Now apparently this man Og was an extremely large man. And apparently he had an iron bedstead. And it tells us that it was 9 cubits long. Well, that makes 162 inches or 13.5 feet. And that's quite a long bed, I think, isn't it? I don't know how long. I've never measured our bed. How long's our bed? 6 foot? Yeah, well, imagine double that, eh? This is just for one man. Goodness knows what he... Well, anyway, I won't go into that. And it was 4 cubits wide, which would make that about a yard. 36 inches. I'm sorry if I'm not talking metric. I don't understand metric, so... But anyway, if you read all that, it's not just make-believe. It tells us there in chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, verse 11, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. And that's why he's such a large man, of course. And it tells us there that his bedstead was an iron bedstead. And then it goes on to give the length and the width and everything of this man's bedstead. Very interesting man. But he was, and his army, of course, was defeated at this place called Edrei. And the Israelites took possession of his country. And as the Lord had promised them, of course. And in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 20, we read this. And from Bamoth in the valley that is in the country of Moab to the top of Kisdah, which looks then on the wasteland, then Israel sent messages to Sihon, king of the Amorites, and so on. And it goes on in that chapter to describe the defeat of this individual. Particularly verses 32 through to 35. And also we have a chap called Sihon, and he was defeated at a place called Jahaz. And I won't go into all the details of that. But, just so it's not just going forward, we look in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 135, verses 10 to 12, he defeated many nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people Israel. Notice there, hey, the Lord gave them. Yes, they had to defeat them in battle, but who enabled them to defeat them in battle? It was the Lord, and it's given them as a heritage. And tragedy is what happened, of course, is the people of God neglected to maintain these territories as they should have done. And we know what happened there. And we need to apply this principle to ourselves. Think of what the Lord has given us, perhaps collectively, individually. He's given us minds. Minds to think. Minds to take in. And minds to discern. Everything that we read, everything that we see, goes into the mind. And that's why it's so important that we keep the scriptures foremost in our lives. That it is what the scripture is teaching we want to put into us. We need to care for our minds. We don't want to damage them by looking and reading the wrong stuff. Our abilities. We've all got different abilities. Obviously, as we get older, our abilities may decrease somewhat. They're all God given. And if we neglect them, what happens? And what are the results of neglect? Sadly, I know many people that started off along the Christian road, but they neglected to read the scriptures. They neglected to have times of prayer. They neglected to be part of a church fellowship. And they are absolutely spiritually nowhere. The results of neglect can be so dreadfully catastrophic. And remember, it's the Lord. It was the Lord that allotted or gave, or he decided the boundaries of their lands and the tribal areas. And in their journey through the wilderness, the Lord continued to show one act of mercy after another. We read in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Go down to Eastbourne Beach, find a bit of sand somewhere, and pick up a jar full, and even begin to try and count the amount of grains in there. Never do it, would you? Some idea of the promise of God to his people. And again, it's just a wonderful reminder of how the Lord answered the promises that he gave to his people. And the promises that he gives to you and I, if we're believers, he will keep. He made their descendants in so numerous that they were able to take possession of the lands of kingdoms and nations. They couldn't have done it otherwise. Talks about a heritage there, but well, we could use the word posterity. Promise to the very people of God. And if we were to go into the book of Genesis, the promises that God made to Abraham, we've just read one about multiplication. Just one more, just for example, in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7. Where, again, how God supplied the sacrifice instead of Isaac. And they could look back at that. My son, God will provide for himself. And what he provided for Abraham and Isaac, he provided for his people. And provides it for us today. And just a verse from the New Testament, Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he, this is Abraham of course, become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Think about our own heritage, our own posterity. Yes, we may be fortunate enough to have our own homes. We may have paid off the mortgage. But it's only temporary. And in a moment we're gone. And whoever our heirs are, they take it on. But our heritage is not in this life. It's in glory. And however lovely your home is, I got a mansion waiting for me. And so's every believer. Now, we live in a lovely home. But it ain't a mansion. That would be too much of an exaggeration. Maybe to us. Nobody else would call it that. That's what I'm seeing as my heritage. Not my bit of garden, which gets a bit more problematical every time the weeds grow. But glory. Glory to come. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful promise that we have. And you see, these people that in Nehemiah's day, they look back to the promises that the Lord gave to his people about the promised land. And as I said earlier, the promises that we can read of in Genesis that were made to Abraham. And remember right at the end of the book of Genesis, when Joseph is about to die, what does he say? What's his request? I'm here, I'll be buried in Egypt immediately. I don't want to stay here. When you go into the promised land, you take my bones with you. The promises were not only made to Abraham, to Joseph as well. Promises also made to the people. And it's not just to individuals. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 8. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. See, that's the reason they're going to get it. Not because they're that special, but because I am the Lord. And for us today, as the people of God, We have such wonderful promises that we can look to and we can rely upon. And I'm just going to read just a couple of them to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And just one more verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God on him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God. And of course there's that wonderful promise of John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you apply that to yourself? Those promises? You need to. You see, this is Nehemiah and the people looking back, reminding themselves of the blessings upon his people at their entry into Canaan. Look back to the blessings of your life, when the Lord saved you, when the Lord has answered prayers, and how good he has been in the past. He's not going to stop now. He'll carry on all the way. And of course, they mention here, don't they, the miraculous crossing of the River Jordan. That's described in Joshua chapter 3. But see, according to this, you see, end of verse 24, he gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they wished. See, according to this time, to the will of the people. But the only reason they were able to do that was because they were enabled by the power of God. And no other reason, of course. It is, of course, it's what the Lord accomplished. And everything that we are and what we do and achieve is because, hey, the Lord accomplishes it through us. But what a tragedy in verse 25. It tells us at the end, they delighted themselves in your great goodness. So they ate and were filled and grew fat. There they did. They had it all made for them. And they fell under the power and influence of luxury. Then, sadly, and goes on to tell us, and we'll look at that in another time, verse 26, hey, they became disobedient. Hey, they corrupted in the way that they were living and worshipping. And indeed, hey, they sinned against all the mercies of God. And eventually, of course, they were destroyed by his judgments, weren't they? Israel was destroyed or taken away by Assyria, and Babylon took Judah. God in his grace and mercy allowed them to come back. But not the Samaritans from Israel. The thing is, these people obtained, through the Lord's enabling, comforts and blessings. And they enjoyed them. And so should we enjoy the comforts and blessings that the Lord gives us. Never take things for granted. Last Thursday, we went to visit our son, Martin, up in Stowmarket. We went by coach for Lynn's travels. And we had a good journey up. We even got through the tunnel at Dartford with no problem. And we thought, this is wonderful. And there he is, he's doing this. And suddenly, boom, massive traffic jam. Why? A fatality on the A14 just outside Bury St Edmunds. And all the timetables went out the window. And of course, when you realise the cause of that hold-up, your heart goes out to a family. We're in a traffic jam, it's a nuisance. But there's a family there grieving the loss of a loved one. 1 second, 2 seconds, how hard, I assume, reasonable, driving along, next minute, dead. We must never, ever take things for granted. We may think we're one of the healthiest people, and we are. But illness can strike in a moment. Never, ever take things for granted. Never, ever take the Lord for granted. He so enabled these people to become victorious, they became rulers of kingdoms and nations. But it tells us then that they took, verse 25, they took strong cities. That takes effort. And a rich land. It almost speaks to their invincibility. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 24, it tells us, and he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. And what does he describe this as, this land? Houses full of goods. Cisterns already dug. Vineyards and olive groves. Fruit trees in abundance. I mean, it's all there, wasn't it? All made for them. Think of all that. Abundance, olive yards, vineyards. But they became fat. And then they began to delight themselves in that abundance and began to forget the Lord. They forgot of God's great goodness to them. If we want to talk in terms of modernism or modern words, they became worldly. It's one of the tragedies of the church today is there's an awful lot of worldly people in it. Yes, they go to service, they worship, they may well be saved. But so often their thinking is worldly. And the Lord is often tacked on. I've been told that the amount of Christians, so-called Christians, who don't even read their Bible. I find it incredible. This is the book that God's given us so that we know how to live. Let me read to you from the Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What a description of the lost. Many of the people that we know in our families, our loved ones, neighbours, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, because they don't have Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives a warning in Luke chapter 6 and verse 25. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But verse 25, back again in Nehemiah, it ends with your great goodness. The Lord is good. And let me just read you from Psalm 25. A couple of verses from the Psalms, actually. 25 and verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. Later on, Psalm 33 and verse 5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And then one more verse from Prophet Nahum. Chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Do apply this to ourselves. How good is the God we adore, unchangeable friend. How good is the God we adore. And that's to every believer. Think what the Lord has given you. If you want to think of it in material terms, families, friends, possessions, but most of all, the free gift of salvation in Christ. What more could we desire than to know Christ as our Lord and our Saviour? Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Just think for a moment. The blessings that the Lord has given me, each one of us. But most of all, surely, the blessing of salvation. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. To be chosen before the foundation of the world, that at a particular time God would save us, draw us to himself and enable us. Well, may the Lord help us in these, well, certainly days of unbelief and uncertainty, and well, you know, you don't need me to tell you what's happened in the last few days. Chaos. But then what happens to a nation that forgets their God? But God has his people in this land. You and I to start with. And many others. And let's pray the Lord will continue to strengthen and sustain us. And may we always continually thank him for the blessing of his salvation. Amen.